Righto, for the purpose of the recording, we will start again. Welcome to this Euralla Council Finance and Advisory Committee meeting on the 18th of April 2023. The time is now 4:01. First, we will start with the prayer. Almighty God, we humbly ask you to grant your blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper our deliberations to the advancement of your glory and the true welfare of the people of our Shire and Australia. Amen. To recognise the traditional custodians, Euralla Shire Council recognises the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and acknowledges Aboriginal elders past and present. We extend this respect to other Indigenous Australians who may be present at this meeting today. This meeting will be webcast. Yeah. This meeting is being audio recorded, and the recordings of the non-confidential parts of the meeting will be made available on the internet. No other persons are permitted to record the meeting unless specifically authorised by council to do so. Persons attending the meeting should refrain from making defamatory statements. And then just a reminder to everyone to turn off your mobile phones. We are now up to apologies.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, we have three apologies. The Mayor, Mayor Robert Bell, Councillor Doran and Councillor Burrows.
Would someone care to move that the apologies be accepted? Move Councillor Toomey, seconded Councillor Petrov. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Disclosures and declarations of interest. If anyone has any, we haven't received any, have we? No. If anyone realises during the meeting they have a conflict of interest, they need to get a form from
the
table in the foyer and fill it out. Honour. Thank you, Councillor O'Connor. Just in case we deviate.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Confirmation of minutes. The Finance Advisory Committee meetings minutes from the meeting held on the 21st of March were adopted as a true and accurate record at the 28th of March 2023 ordinary meeting of Council. So we don't need to do any more with that. Tabling of petitions. There's no petitions. There are no late reports.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, probably not late report as such. However, following councillor questions, particularly Councillor O'Connor, there has been some additional work undertaken since the agenda was issued, and councillors will have on their table an updated rate modelling summary, which will get posted in due course, and Councillor O'Connor may have some further contributions to this item.
Mr. Chairman, I would say it is a late report in that it forms part of an amendment to the report that's within the one that's received, and I would therefore foreshadowing that the alternate motion that I put forward needs to be changed a little, tweaked, and I'm just tweaking it now. Thank you.
So you would like it considered as a late report, so we need to move that we
receive
the late report, so which you're prepared to move that?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Could we have a second that we receive that late report? Councillor Bower, seconds. Those in favour of receiving the late report? Carried unanimously.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, do you want to perhaps in that motion receive the late report to be dealt with as part of 9.1?
Yes.
Thank you.
So the motion will read along the lines of Council receives the late report to be considered as a component of report 9.1.
Yes. that the late report updated late model scenario summary. So it be considered to be be considered as part of item 9.1. I think we just need the word be received and considered. So I'm going to be received and be considered. Could you possibly just make that a bit bigger on the screen, please?
That's better.
Maybe a bit bigger if you could.
That's better.
How's
still.
That?
And here, and here. We've got two divisions.
All right. We done that one? Right, just before we move to report 9.1, I'd like to welcome our new Director of Infrastructure and Development, Tony Avery.
So thank you.
Welcome
Mr.
to your alley.
Thank you, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, we move to the report.
Yes, so Mr. Deputy Mayor, if I could just introduce the AEC Group consultants, Graham Jarvis and Francis, whose surname escapes me.
Mungru.
So they've been doing the rate modelling, and as you've just heard, have done some work with Councillor O'Connor in the last 24 hours. So I think if it's okay with the committee, we'll just hand over to them to run through their presentation. We do have some alternate wording based on some questions from councillors earlier in the week and this updated work, which we'll get on screen when we get to that point.
Right.
That's it. Thank you. Hand over to you, Graham. You're on mute at the moment.
Yeah, apologies for that. That's a muting mistake. Yeah, thank you very much, Chairman, and for attending. It's a pleasure to be working with you on the rate modelling. Just as a quick little intro, and I'll throw over to Francis very shortly to do the presentation, but AEC has completed rate modelling and review and rating for many years now. Myself, I was the Director of Corporate for 8 years in local government up in Queensland before going into consultancy. All over the place, and I've been doing rating in New South Wales, Victoria, Northern Territory, and obviously in my home state of Queensland. And Francis joins us as prior being the CFO at Strathfield Council, and is based in our Sydney office. So it's been a bit of rating experience between the two of us, and we're very happy to be helping you with your rate modelling and giving our advice wherever we can on your rate setting. So just as a quick little recap, so what we've been able to do is to do the rate modelling to have a look at some options for you to consider. We've also been asked to have a look at the REZ, the energy zone, and what's the potential. There's not a lot of potential there to differentiate that as a separate rating category. And then to basically just to help you and assist you with your decisions on future rate setting. So it's not a full rate report. We haven't been asked to provide a report as such, just the modelling and obviously today's presentation. So without further ado, I'll just hand over to Francis, who will run through some of the project findings and run through the modelling.
Okay, thank you, councillors and staff. Please let me know if you can see the screen now.
Yeah? Yeah, all good.
Cool. So, as Graham has mentioned, we've done a bit of scenario modelling for the council. I'll just quickly run through the project overview that was in initially spoke about, stop me where we want to ask questions, and then a bit of training considerations, and then we get down to the main part of it, which is the scenario modeling, and then the last bit, which is basically saying what happened from there onwards. So the objective of the project, as mentioned, was to provide options to enable councils to make decisions on appropriate rating categories, especially with the new renewable energy zone. As Graham has mentioned, there isn't much to differentiate that, but this might be something to take opportunity of in the future. And in terms of the deliverable, council have requested us to come up with a rate modelling of the existing general rate structure, and also model a few options for going forward. The two things we were meant to do, the one that was missed out in March, was we were meant to provide preliminary findings. Unfortunately, we could not do that at that stage, but now we're doing a presentation to the Finance Advisory Committee of the scenarios that have been presented. So this is just a quick rundown. I'll be forwarding this slide to Kate to be forwarded to the committee. So it just gives you scope of what was decided at the proposal stage, and then the stages to go through. So we're currently at stage six, where we're presenting this to you to make a final decision, and then after that, it's basically handing over the data and the model to the council staff to move forward with it. So a little bit about rating, and I'll just run through the local government legislation and something outside of it.
So, Francis, sorry, it might just be my screen, but the slides aren't clicking through.
Okay. Are you able, the rest of the guys, are you able to see the screen?
Still on slide one.
Yeah, oh. It's not clicking through. Yeah.
No worries. I wonder why. Okay. Is that clicking now?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry about that. I think it was sharing on a different screen. So, as mentioned, this was the stages, agreed stages that Council and AEC initially decided. We are up to stage six, which is presenting to the committee, and stage seven, basically handing over to the council staff. So in terms of rating considerations, as you know, we follow the Local Government Act 1993, which basically gives you guidelines on what is rateable properties and how you can categorize them. So the four categories which council does use at the moment, although you have a mining category, is not utilized as such. And then providing details about, this is more important when it comes to the renewable energy part of it, how you can create subcategories and how you can differentiate properties in terms of farmland and residential. A lot of it mainly is the limitation of the land.
Francis, I might just stop you there. I'll just present my screen because you're not showing a full. It might be a little bit small on screen, so yep. Stop sharing and I'll share my screen.
Yep.
Is that a little bit better for people to see?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Next slide. So this is where it tells you how you can create subcategories based on farmland and in terms of the location, the intensity of use, and the economic factors. So if you go forward, Graham, next slide. This is something that I've just put through, which is a little bit outside of the Act, but a lot of councils do consider. As it is mentioned, that the Act does not tell you that the rates levied needs to be in a fair and equitable way, but when you ultimately going out to your community, it needs to be perceived that it is done in a fair and equitable way. So following the capacity to pay and also the benefit principles behind it. So, any questions before I move on to the actual models?
No, I think you can keep going, thank you.
Yep. So the scenario modelling, so the latest, which we updated this afternoon, later today, was the option 6. So just to run through the options, the two initial columns that you see is base model. One is based on the 2022-23 budget as per the 2019 land valuations. And as you're also aware, from 1st of July, the 2022 land valuations will be applied. So the second column provides information around if the 2022 land valuations was used. And then the six options.
Just check, Frank. So that base model, committee members, is to show you what the impact of the land valuations are. And if you were to apply no settings, what the impact of the land valuations would have.
Okay, in terms of the scenarios, all options have a rate back of 3.7%, and option one is maintaining the yield as per the 22-23 budget. By yield, I mean the rate burden, so the percentage of the rates assigned to each category remain the same. And option two is maintaining the yield based on the 2022, which is the new valuations. Option three is maintaining the yield as currently done, but increasing the base rate from 310 to 350. But when you look at your attachment, you'll see two cells that are colored in red, highlighting that in doing so, you will push your 50% requirement of base versus ad valorem. So option four is doing the opposite of it, maintaining the yield, but bringing your base from 310 to 250. Option five is increasing residential, rural residential business yield and reducing the farmland yield by the same amount. And the last one that was added this today was maintaining the same base rate and the same ad valorem, which is the rates in the dollar for all rating categories. Next slide.
So it's probably really important that we understand the input, the scenario sample. So I just wanted to point out that the differences in the options are whether the current burden that is shared between residential, business and farmland, for that to stay the same, you will have to change the rate in the dollar for those categories so that they remain the same rate burden. If you apply the same rate in the dollar to all of the categories, which is what's in option six in the late edition, then the rate burden across the categories will change. Does that make sense?
I think it does, Graham, but it might be worth just perhaps talking through it that a little bit more, like walking people through what they're looking at.
Councillor O'Connor has a question.
Yeah. Not so much a question as a comment. Scenario one, that comment has been made that the yield will be the same. The yield will be the same as it was for last year, right? But you must be aware that it is last year. It does not make it the same as previous years because those yields are changed year by year and particularly in the year of revaluation. So there's nothing magic about last year's revaluation yield. That's my comment, that the yield, which was 56.7%, was the yield for last year. And as I had in my discussion with Graham this afternoon, that the council needs to be mindful that the farmland has the ad valorem rate, the environmental levy, and the base rate, those three elements. The other rating have annual charges, which are water and sewer, domestic and collection, etc. So what happened last year was of the farmland yield for the total of rates and annual charges was 46% because they have very few annual charges. So if you change the rate to be the same rate for the annual charges, for the rates, when the annual charges are added, then there will be a larger increase for the other ones, for residents, rural residents and business, because of the disproportionate. But we are only talking about rates, right? So you have to be mindful of the other item that we'd be considering as well. So I think you need to have that in mind, because one of the reasons, I'll argue that later, okay.
So the council, we had a very good conversation around it. So yeah, my takeaway was a very strong understanding that you have had changes in the valuations in the past, which has put, and historically you've kept the same rate in the dollar, which means that when the valuations go down, farmland compared to residential, then the residential is going to wear more of the burden. When the farmland goes up, comparable to the residents, residential, then the farmland wears the burden. So my takeaway from that conversation was, in the past, the residents have felt it, the farmland have felt it the next time, and now this time with the valuations, it's the farmland that the valuations have gone up more significantly than residential. So that provides a bit of context to the conversation. Can we go into the options?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, please.
So in terms of comparing the scenarios, what I've done is I've broken them down into different areas. So in terms of looking at the base rate comparison, we currently, council has a base rate of 3.10 across all categories. So the important part to note is the last bit of the rows, which is the base rate of the yield. Because after the Act, council cannot raise the base rate for more than 50% of the total yield based on the total or even the categories. So if you see the two highlighted cells in there, option two and option three becomes invalid because it pushes it residential over 50% in terms of base rate, if we keep that at 310 and 350. Whilst the option one, which is scenario one, it's still under 48%, and the new option six pushes it up to 49.7%.
So we had to reduce the base rate to 282 in that last scenario to comply with the Act for the base rate.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, any questions so far that we'd like to move forward?
So this is just a comparison of the rate in the dollar for the forum. So as you know, the past councils had the same for all rating categories. Option 1 to 5 provides for different, and hence you can see the yellow cells, which shows you the difference to versus the residential itself. So, for example, in scenario 1, rural residential is 94% of residential, and then it moves on. And the option 6, which is scenario 6, we're presenting with the same style of what council has been doing, where the envelope for all rating categories is still the same. Questions?
Yes.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Bruce McMullen. I just have a couple of fundamental questions regarding context, if I may. We do have mining in our shire, and that relates to a number of quarries, and those quarries have been doing a thriving business in terms of providing gravel to construct the various solar farms, and will be similarly contributing to the construction of the wind farms when they are finally approved. So to suggest that we don't have any mining, I would therefore ask, where do they fit? And similarly, I note that one of the categories is business. Well, where does industry fit in terms of if we were to have an industrial area where things are being made, is that regarded as business or is it a separate category? Thank you.
So just to answer the question about mining, the data that we received was from council system, so in that instance there was no mining properties assigned, so there was nothing that was rated as mining in the council system. And your answer to your question about industry, yes, that is a subcategory of business.
Thank you.
It's quite often, it's quite common to hit the mining category, you have to hit a threshold for extraction or for the type of extraction. So it may be that it hasn't hit those thresholds, council, and that's why it hasn't. It's not within its own mining category.
Cool. Next slide. So the next slide compares the revenue out of the six scenarios. As mentioned before, there is a 3.7 from scenario one to scenario six, there is a 3.7% rate back attached to it. And the bottom rows in green and red show you an average increase in the rates based on the calculations done through the model. So if we were to go with option one, it shows that every category will have an increase. On average, the residential will have an increase of $26 per assessment. Business, $39, farmland, $149. And moving on to the last scenario, it shows there will be a reduction in residential of $48 on average, a reduction in business of $60, and an increase on average of $467 on the farmland. Any questions on those? And as you can see, what we've mentioned before, the maintaining the yield or the rate burden. The first column, which is the current budget, which is residential at 21.3, scenario one is exactly identical to that. So we've taken that as the same percentage of burden across the different rating categories.
So there's no change in rural residential?
So rural also, in scenario one, sits at the same. So we've taken everything exactly in terms of percentages the same. So rural, in terms of the bottom, has been calculated into the residential as a total.
Thank you.
We can separate that, but we just put all the residential in one. Any questions? Nope. Next slide. So this is just a comparison of land value, just for more or less information's sake. As you can see, council had 998 billion in terms of land value, which has gone up to 1.16. How do you say that? 1,694 billion. And you can see the percentages increased. Residential set at 14%, which has reduced to 12. Rural residential went from 16 to 14. Business went from 2 to, well, stayed at 2. Farmland went from 69 to 72. And the percentage changed at the bottom. So this is looking at the median or the quartile by rating properties. If we were to take all of these options, so you can see the shift between the four corners. So in terms of residential, it moves from 310 to 2, and because we're lowering the base rate on the last option, it reduces it to 282. So we're lowering the minimum rate.
Explain what the quartiles mean.
Yeah. So basically, the quartile is the 25% of, so the first minimum quartile is the first 25%. Then the second is the 35 to 50%. Then the 50 to 75, and the 25 to 100% mark. Of
so, yeah, councillors, if you read all this. From the minimum to the maximum, the first quartile is the first 25%. So it's the first 25% of lowest paying or lowest rate assessment. Then the median is obviously the midpoint of when you list from bottom to top, and the third quartile is the 75% top paying. So what this is trying to show to you, and this is how a lot of councils actually like to see it when we do rate modelling, is because they want to see what the impact is on those who are most impacted. And so it's usually, obviously the minimum is the lowest, but the first quartile usually shows those who are going to have less capacity to pay, usually are represented by that first quartile. So to interpret this, obviously the first quartile in scenario one will be paid more than in scenario two. So that's the best way I can advise you to interpret is the first quartile probably going to be those who have less income, well, based on the value of the land, right? But that tends to indicate those who have less wealth. Then you would look at the first quartile to see what the impact is on them. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. So if you go to the next slide, that will show you how things move. It's the same approach, but what we're looking at is the changes from the current budget. So the same approach of the quartile, the median. So if you look at option one, the first 25% of the minimum reduced by $2.76 in option one. The first quartile ends up being $17 more. While if you go down to the farm land, it shows that the first quartile actually reduces by $21. And to the far extreme, which is option six in this scenario, where everyone seems to have a reduction. In terms of residential, rural residential, and business, and the minimum of farmland, because we reduced the minimum to $282. But everything after that, the first quartile, the median, the third quartile, and maximum, have all a massive increase. That's where the major hit is in terms of that scenario.
Any questions or comments on it that you all would like to make? I have an observation. I don't want to, it's not my role to advise or recommend in this scope of work, but what this does show to me is that the valuation seems to have been quite large movement in the higher value farmland property. So if your concern is on the smaller farmland, then it appears that the smaller farmland parcels are not impacted anywhere near as significantly as the larger properties. So even when you look at column
on the base model, you can see that in farmland, the first water hole is actually going down. So for me, that's really, and even the first water hole hasn't moved much at all. So a large valuation increase has to be at the real top end of the farmland property. So increasing the farmland, my read is it will impact on the larger property, not so much the smaller property. And reasonably, in the other categories, residential and business are pretty similar, although there is quite a drop in the rural residential valuation from the first quartile. So the lower value rural residential properties, it looks to me as though you can see across the scenarios, the rural residential are decreasing in their rates. So the rural residential are being are the winners, I guess if I could use poor terminology, of this rate modelling, which is probably a good thing. Residential, the first quartile, again, seems to have been a bit all over the place with the movement. So unlike rural residential, the first quartile doesn't benefit as much in because of the change in the valuation. That's my interpretation. So it's the big end down the farmland that's going to feel the impact of any model that you select. It's the bigger end of the farmland that's going to be impacted. The first quartile, the less valued rural residential properties will benefit. In fact, you can even see at the top end, there is some benefit to the top end in rural residential. So for some reason, rural residential land has not increased comparable to the other categories. And that seems to come through as well in the residential, where the top end hasn't, in the residential space, increased anywhere near like the farmland has increased. So your valuation, the change in the valuation is dampening the impact on the rural residential, and it's hitting the big end town of farmland.
Yeah. Councillor Bower.
Thank you very much for that summary. It's very good, but I'm wondering why the bias for the bigger end of, as you call it, of the farmlands in the Shire. I'm just wondering, with all the solar going on in the area, would that push up the rates on the eastern side, plus the idea that there's a wind farm coming around the whole district, by the sound of it, would that have a bearing at all on the valuations? Because these valuations, they've gone up quite remarkably, really, and it's going to have a big impact on the rates no matter what. So whatever scenario we go with. I've been assured they weren't going to do this, but I find or feel that it has crept in. So the value of these rates, especially around these solar farms, they seem to be pretty well up there. Thank you.
Solar farms are going to, there's a bit of an unknown. We tried to do some benchmarking around the fence. She might have comment more on it, but we did. We'd like to stop sharing the screen, or do you still want to see this up on the screen?
We have a copy in front of us, paper copy.
Yeah. So the, when I was back in local government game and back in the director role, we had quite a lot of different ratings. We had some of the largest solar farms come into town. And my council of the day were trying to encourage it. So they didn't want the rate burden on the solar farm to be too high. And just as a by the by, we actually found that they became very, very, very rough on the infrastructure during the construction of the solar farm, and the road got chewed up and all sorts of stuff. So they actually became quite problematic because of the impact on the infrastructure. What usually happens is there's a lease over the land for the farm. And so what will happen is you'll have an additional assessment which will be classed as business for that solar farm. So you would need to actually increase the rate of the dollar on all the other businesses if you really wanted to leverage from the solar farm or from the, whatever the renewable farm is. So if you are, it's a bit difficult because you're caught up in with the business. Other businesses will be impacted if you increase the rate of the dollar. However, you obviously will get a significant uplift on the value of that lease when the valuers value that lease, assuming that it's going to be a lease on the land. So you will, yes, you'll get a windfall out of it. It will be a supplementary charge. And I'm assuming that the valuations that they applied to our solar farms were quite high. So if New South Wales valuers follow the same path as the Queensland valuers, you will benefit from those funds. But at this stage, it's very difficult to estimate how much you're going to pay for that.
If I could just clarify a couple of things or ask for clarification. I think part of Councillor Bower's question was whether or not those renewable energies are making a difference to the valuations we're dealing with right now. And my understanding is they're not yet. So this is more about what the Valuer General has decided, deemed more to do with farming on those very large properties. And then the second thing is, in terms of what this modelling has spat out, it has produced the numbers it's produced for councillors to now consider which way you want to go. So it's not any bias or preference, it's just if you apply these different modellings, this is the outcome to give you the information for the discussion today and then making that recommendation moving forward. So this is all just the facts to help you.
we haven't yet looked, or I don't think you've looked at the distribution of the changes in the property values across the Shire, and whether the property values associated with the infrastructure related to the renewable energy have increased more than property values in other sections of the Shire. You know, there is a concentration of property, well, along the major transmission lines, that in my head should be selling at somewhat of a premium because of the potential for solar generation from those properties and their access to the grid.
I don't know if that's caught up.
We haven't, yeah.
So, Mr. I don't know if that's happened yet, though, terms of there's always a lag with the Valuer General's processes of 1 to 2 years.
Yeah. In terms of the solar, in terms of the renewable energy, under the category farmland, we can levy a separate rate or classify farmland differently according to economic factors.
Yes, that's true. But I think that what you'll find is those leases will be classed as business or industrial rather than farmland. That's the problem, is that the business category doesn't have that differential capability.
How can the lease determine the rate category?
Could we just run through that again for those of us in the room that are still getting heads around that?
So the solar farms will be a separate assessment.
Sure.
And I think you'll find that they'll be classed by the value of the definitions. You'll have the class as a business assessment, not as a farm assessment. Sherry, do you know whether they're going to have a lease over the land or whether they're going to purchase it freehold?
Yeah, the solar farm's got a lease over the land. You've got the option of selling. Not many have taken up that option. My question was mainly based on the bigger properties surrounding the solar farm. Their valuation's gone up remarkably, whereas they're not getting an income off this solar farm at all. Now, that's not me with sour grapes. I've got a bit in both, so, and I'm not big. But I'm just saying that I'm just trying to get my head around whether they have increased the rates around these solar farms. Or the value of general certainly lift the rates, lift the values, because they're very high. Like, I'm bringing comparisons.
Councillor, I can only, I'm not a valuer, but I have looked into the Valuation Act. Look, what they should be is they should be more than enough market evidence to let the market, it's the historical sales that generates the current valuation of the land. I'm hoping that your valuers aren't speculative and they shouldn't be valuing on what they think should happen. They should be valuing on what the market evidence is. So if there have been some sales of those properties that you're referring to, which have sold for much higher prices because of that, then that may be the case. But hopefully your value is just speculatively increasing the value because they think that land might increase.
Councillor Petrov, do you have a question?
Just a comment. I've just come back from Jindabyne, where my son lives on 5 acres, about 10 k's Cooma side of Jindabyne, and he just got his new valuation, and his 5 acre block is now valued at what they're selling 100 acre blocks for. It's gone through the roof. So it's not just where there's solar, there's no renewable energy things going on there. Chris out at Rocky River, a bit the same on 100 acres there. So I think they've all just, gone up hugely.
Yeah, I can confirm with that. We just did financial sustainability for Tsunami Amara, and their land fund huge. But they also, some of those properties around Jindabyne went up because of the special activation precinct they've got around Jindabyne. So yeah, the land has increased quite a lot around Jindabyne because of the New South Wales government special activation precinct. But again, with the work that we've done elsewhere, we're working now with Edgar Rubin at the moment, Denalico, and they're all finding the same committee members. The rural land has gone up quite significantly across New South Wales.
Anyone have more questions?
Thank you very much for that. I'm sorry to get you off the modelling system here rather than getting into the rating system. So, thank you.
I think if I can just advise, I think really, if you want to know the answer to some of those questions, you just have to ask the valuers really. You have to go back and query them as to why they value it the way they have.
Now, Councillor Toomey has a question or comment.
Yeah, thank you. I just had a couple of questions back on the report that we have in our business papers that has come from AEC Group. So I wanted to just ask a couple of questions there. I've partly because to help me understand the assumptions behind the modelling, I just want to understand. I understand that you've got to focus on gross operating surplus and capacity to pay rationale, and I'm trying to make sure I understand how you've come to some of the conclusions. I want to just clarify a statement on page 12 of our business papers. I'm not sure what page it is of your report. Page 5 of your report. I'm not sure if I've understood this correctly, but it talks about controlling cost of services funded by general rates in line with a projected decline for the council to be financially sustainable. Are you talking or referring to a I mean, it's an aberration of data to suggest we've had declining population, but I realise that's the data you've relied upon. So are you talking about that, the data that none of us agree with about the declining population in theory, that would actually generate, in turn, lead to a reduction in general rates income? That was what I felt you were saying, but I can't understand how that would be possible. But maybe I misunderstood your statement.
Okay. Yeah, so what we've been asked to do is to the model, and so we haven't provided you with a full report. So the full report probably would have given some commentary around that. So the population is an indicator, one indicator amongst the others that you might want to consider. In particular, going, what the population says to me is, is your rating system sustainable over the long term or trend? That being population, demographic changes, it might be even the economic trends where one council that I've been working with has a processing But anyway, the point is that they know that in 4 years that's going to close down. It's a major rate contributor to their council. And so they've got a real issue with their rating system because they obviously need to replace those rates somehow. So what the population says is if you've got an increasing population, then obviously that's a sign that you are going to get some additional supplementary coming forward. A declining population actually doesn't have the same effect because the assessments are there regardless of whether your population is declining or not. Someone has to pay for that existing assessment, the existing property. So, yeah, please don't. The population has had almost no impact on the models that we put forward. It's simply there as a bit of a test as to how sustainable is your system going forward. And is there any need or justification to don't differentiate any further? So when it comes to the economic modelling, what we're saying there is, and you made the comment, the general operating surplus, is what we're looking at is who's got the capacity to contribute more than others, and if there's any need or to differentiate further so that everybody is paying a fair share of their capacity to pay, not just the value of their land.
Yep.
And it's quite typical that farmland is rated more in terms of its capacity to pay than business, and that's what has shown in your council as well.
Thank you. So I appreciate clarifying that because I just wasn't quite clear about the correlation that you were drawing there, but that's...
Yeah.
It concurs with how I would have felt about it, but some of the jargon is obviously not something I'm as familiar with, obviously, as you are. The gross operating surplus divided by the output is a table at 1.3 on page 7 of your report and 14 of our business papers. And I'm just curious here, and with some comments made on page 13, around the fact that you've somehow determined profit margins for these categories to have a gross operating surplus number to talk about.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how you've worked that. I'd like to know the assumptions behind the numbers, even at a high level a little bit. But before you get into that, and maybe that's something that's easier to email around, it's not going to change what's before us. I'm just trying to understand the assumptions because in that table, there are a number of categories that I'm quite interested to see such high gross operating surplus divided by output percentages, particularly the water supply, sewage and drainage services, the finance and the public administration and regulatory services. To me, they have to be council-dominated fields, if not particularly the water supply, sewage and drainage. That has to be just our business. Is that right? Or am I missing something in the way?
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
So I'm curious because I looked and saw the source of this is ABS data from 2021, but I don't understand. I wasn't aware that council's business would appear in ABS data. I didn't realise that. So part of my concern is, I guess, and this is, I'm going to have to say it's a follow-up question separately to the general manager, because we, our previous report to the 21st of March Finance Advisory Committee was that these were woefully underperforming businesses, but you've got them as 44%, which is obviously very much in the positive. So I'm trying to correlate your data with other data and work out how we can. So I guess that's where my questions around the assumptions behind your numbers would be great to see.
Yeah, so, it's a great question, and probably one that, that's a very good question. Well, yes, it is reliant on the ABS data. So the ABS does a national accounts collection, and then what it does also is it produces some of these underlying assumptions around profitability based on tax return and the submissions of the BAS statements from business, and it works out some of the underlying components. So this is not, it's economic, based on data. It does have some pretty broad assumptions made around multiplying factors, but the underlying basis is the national accounts. And so you're absolutely spot on, is that there is an element here that the economic data is always it's sensitive to whatever the assumptions are. So if the assumptions applied to generating operating surplus is a regional and even national impact, that might not reflect your local area. And so you should absolutely question, when you get data like this, those exact questions, because it may be that this actually doesn't reflect your local area. You know better about what it is. So when you're talking about, yes, I don't know exactly for sure, but I'm assuring you that you are the only sewage and provider in the area. And so that would be you, but the assumption made is that based on the economic activity that you produce in that area, that you're going to be 44.1% profitable. But obviously that's not the case because you're a council, right? So it's a very good example that you've picked, and one that I've never had anyone question that degree of detail, so thank you. It really does depend on the national accounts and what comes from the tax office in terms of, if you were to own a water supply and sewage business, what is the profit that you would likely be getting? But you obviously don't, because you're a council. But if you had if you were set up a private business in town providing drainage services, the ATO is saying you would maybe think you could earn a 44% profit. Does that make sense?
Yep, I understand. So those statements are statewide, or they're not unique to our LGA.
It's as good as what the ABS data can provide in whatever the census data and it's not just census, it's the ATO database, and it's a stack of other databases that they've got that they use to work out some of those underlying economic indicators.
So it has been extrapolated out to be relevant and a reasonable layer of numbers to apply to our LGA, though. Is that how to interpret that?
Yeah, so the GVA, so the gross value added,
yep.
And even the output is reasonably accurate. The gross operating surplus is based on those assumptions that I've just explained. So probably the gross operating surplus is the longest bow, if I can put it that way, on the data. But the gross value add is a national account, adds up all of the bits and pieces that are reported through, so that should be reasonably accurate. The output does have some assumptions, and that the output will assume, the other way around. The gross value add is what it assumes your local area adds to that economic activity. Output is the total gross value. So it includes things like that are manufactured outside of your area. So you, in your, you're not providing the gross value add, someone else did in another area that manufactured that. So, so 101 in economics, but what you're saying is correct. If you're you need to be careful interpreting this because it is applying regional, state, and national profitability to your area, and you might disagree with it. At the end of the day, with Vardu, is what we tried to show in this report, in my interpretation, is that your gross operating surplus in farmland, it's actually the farmland is contributing a greater portion of their gross operating surplus in rates as opposed to business. So there's some evidence there that you could rate the business harder if you decided to go that way. There's more capacity in the business than there is in farmland. The other one I'll just point out while we're there is 1.4.4 in our report is the residential rating effort. And what we do there is we look at what the median annual income is and what's the average rate as a proportion of that median income. Those rates are quite low for many members. It's usually around 1.5% of median income is spent on local government rates. So your average rate, which I think off the top of my head, and I should be careful doing that, but it's 690. That's quite low. And so the residential effort in rating is lower than what we see in other towns. Okay. That would be my summary of the economic profile in 2 minutes.
I just had one other just observation that looking at the data and the categories, I think there has been such a growth in home-based business of all kinds, whether you want to put it into a trade category or a manufacturing category or a services category, that I'd be curious. I mean, I don't know how we factor in the gross operating surplus in or any of those categories in those businesses that are operating in rural and rural residential, particularly spaces now, because that has really grown, and that is a very different proposition to just these general categories where you think people are just living in a house, but there's a lot more economic activity. I don't know. That's just a comment. I don't know how you do that. But thank you for your information.
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you for your questions. That was a good question.
Yes, I guess, Mr. Deputy Mayor, the next step, if possibly if Graham and Francis are able just to stay for a bit longer in case other questions arise, but the next step would be for the committee members to have a bit of a discussion about the options. What we are hoping to get out of today's meeting is that you're making a recommendation to yourself, to council, in terms of which rating modelling, because we're trying to set up, and it doesn't mean you haven't got time to change it, but we need to put one of the models into our draft budget and a resourcing strategy that we're trying to collate right now.
Councillor Toomey.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I just make the point that this needs to be recommended to council before it can be assumed as resolved in any way. So we can be making a recommendation to council here, but I wouldn't like to see that assumed into a drafting budget model yet when we haven't, when council wouldn't have resolved it until the April meeting. If that, it's, whichever it's, way they resolve.
It shall be a recommendation to council.
Thank you. Could you just shut that other one off too, please? Mr. Mayor, sorry. I'm very clear that this committee only makes recommendations. However, we are concurrently preparing a draft operational plan and resourcing strategy. And if I get no other direction, I will continue with what we have been doing in previous years. And although this will simply be a recommendation to council, we do have a quorum and a majority of councillors here. So if you were to go down a different pathway today, that's what I will be using in the draft op plan, which will come to council for a decision to put on exhibition. So there's still time for further debate and changes, but I will be having to put something in the draft strategy.
Mr. Chairman.
Waiting for the computer to settle down on our...
Regardless of which model we use, the gross amount of rates to be raised is $4,370,000. Yes. Doesn't matter what the rating model we choose, because that's all we can do under the rate. Yeah, we have an option that says we won't apply the 3.7% rate pegging, but I would not be one putting forward that, because we need more than 3.7%, so we have that. This is the first time, right, that I've experienced this coming to the council for a decision for staff to work on the budget in that regard, because it's historically we've always applied the common rate and worked out what the base rate is to give you 50% in one of those categories. It was a mechanical, automatic thing to do. So whilst we have this report and it gives us the base, the options, the alternatives to the common rating, I am unconvinced by any argument away from the common rate with a balanced, with a 50% for the base rate within the residential, which is the one that is the one that gets closest to 50% to be, that all the others are lower than 50%. So I have an alternative motion. I've made some adjustments to it with, in the light of the late report. I've provided that to the recorders, but I think we should be discussing that now, because unless we are going to change from a common rate, but even if we are, that is, doesn't stop the counts, the staff going ahead with the $4.37 million in the revenue report. So I'd say we go forward now with the motion, with a recommendation to council, which the staff can operate on. The recommendation also has a review of the rate modelling to be undertaken in 2 years in preparation for a 3-year yearly revaluations as a matter of course, particularly to enable consideration of any positive response by the state government to the effective development of renewable energy zone businesses across New South Wales in general and in the Eurola Shire in particular. Because no matter what you're talking about, if they say, yes, you can rate the solar farm as a business, guess what? It doesn't improve the $4.37 million because that's pegged by the rates. Sure, it spreads and it makes the other categories less and puts the burden on the farmland who happen to get it, and it will still be pushed out by the valuation unless it's made to be mining, and it's and the government makes it mining with the recommendation that it doesn't fall within the rate pegging limit, and that is something which will take a lot of effort, because the New South Wales government on both sides of the house are wedded to rate pegging. And rate pegging is the problem we've got, that rate pegging, because the land valuation is a, the valuation is the basis on which the rates are set, right? Councils all over the state had tweeted that. In other words, if you live in Yetman, you don't pay a common rate, because the Inverell Council looks at it and says, well, you're not paying very much, so we'll make that four times as much as Inverell. So That's a decision that they have made. Is it just? I don't think so. You is basing the rate on the value of the land a good way of doing things? No, there are better ways, but it's the only way that we have. West Australia has net rate rental value and no rate pegging, which means that if you have a 15-storey block of units, guess what? There are 15 assessments on that one block of land, and you can change the rate. You can still apply a common rate, but you've got expansion by differentiation. We have not changed. I've taken a note. Oh, no, I didn't. But the numbers of assessments from 2013, when I just looked up, right, to now, are minuscule. In other words, I think the farmland's gone down by three properties, three assessments. The residential, interestingly enough, has gone down. The rural residential has gone up. And the businesses are roughly the same. So we don't have any capacity to tweak with the item. We are wedded to, we are imposed with rate pegging. And rate pegging is the problem.
Councillor, on that basis, do you want to move your alternate motion?
Okay, yes, I'll move my alternate motion. The reason I'm saying
is it the one that's up on the screen at the moment?
Yes. The only why I'm talking about that is because the last portion of item two that I've got there is in fact what we need to do, because if there is a change, and it's a big if, then rate modelling will be easier to do.
Now, in that motion, you refer to options one, yep, and options two. That they are the options where?
Okay, the option. In the report, in the business paper report, there are options one, two, three, and four, and five. In the report, ACE's report, there are scenarios, right, 1, 2, 3 and 4 and 5. Yeah. Now 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 and 6. So that's the reason for me saying that it's option 1, the new valuation in common rate in a dollar and a base rate, yep, raising no more than 50% in any rating category, and options 2 to 6 being scenarios 1 to 6 in the rate modelling, late summary report, etc, etc. Okay?
That's just about part two is just about the workshop that we've had, and then I think part three is where we need to make sure we're very clear that, yeah, with what we've recommended.
Don't we need point two in there?
Well, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I think the thinking was with parts one and two is to help paint the picture and tell the story in the minutes that go forward to council meeting,
right,
and for the benefit of the community.
And the thrust of my recommendation to council is that we take the AC report forward, and the community can see that we have considered it in its fullness of scenarios 1 to 6, and we have come down with number 6 because it's what we've always done.
Yeah.
And and the rationale behind it is there is no better way for us at this particular point in time than depending upon the difference in valuations differentiating between ability to pay. Now, there is no ability to pay. There is no nexus between the valuation and your ability to pay. You know, my block of land is valued at a certain amount. The next door neighbour to me is probably about a quarter of mine, and that person may have more ability to pay rates than I do. But because I sit on a larger block of land doesn't mean to say that I have a greater ability to pay. Yeah. So, well, unfortunately, we don't have people producing their bank statements to tell us what their ability to pay is, so we're we're locked into a means which is justifiable, isn't no hyperbole, it's straightforward. There it is, that's the reason, that's it. And I don't want to be in the position of arguing about somewhere between that, if we modify, if we tweak. In other words, if we increase someone else's so that one other will come down, on what basis? But then I'm not prepared to argue for it, okay?
So you're prepared to move that motion? Yes. For the purpose of the tape, I need to read it onto the tape.
Would you like me to read it?
It'll be right. The motion moved by Councillor O'Connor that Council...
Do you want a second of it?
We do, but wait till it's read.
That
Council, one, receive a presentation from AEC Group on their rates modelling options for Council, noting that the Regional Economic Factors Report does not include consideration of the current rating model of Council, i.e. the current valuation at a common rate in the dollar, as none of the scenarios examine the maintenance of a common rate in the dollar and presents population forecasts that have long been disputed by regional councils in New South Wales. The outcomes available from the consideration of rating effort, part 1.4, requires a greater sophistication of rating categories than available from the basic farmland, rural residential and business categories currently applied. Workshop the various options available to Council, namely option one, new valuation at a common rate in the dollar and a base rate raising no more than 50% in any rating category, and option 2 to 6 being scenarios 1 to 6 in the rate modelling scenarios summary, late report of AEC's Regional Economic Factors Report. Point 3, recommend to Council that, one, option one, the new valuation at a common rate in the dollar and base rate raising no more than 50% in any rating category. In brackets, the late report, scenario 6, close brackets, with the amendments of the base rate being $282.80 in place of $282 be included in the draft resourcing strategy. And 2, reviews of the rate modelling options be undertaken in 2 years in preparation for the 3 yearly revaluations as a matter of course, particularly to enable consideration of any positive response by the state government to the effect of development of renewable energy zone businesses across New South Wales in general and the Yarralla Shire in particular. Now, do we have a seconder for the motion? Seconded by Councillor McMullen. Is there anyone who... Well, Councillor O'Connor, I think, has in effect spoken for the motion.
Yes, I have.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak against the motion? Or should that the seconder speak first, shouldn't I? I will. Councillor McMullen.
In so doing, Mr Deputy Mayor, I would like to get some clarification, which may be for the benefit of the community. Let's assume, for example, that we have an income based on rates of $4 million and we are allowed to increase that by 3.7%, which would give us approximately $4,148,000 in the course of 1 year. How can we incorporate, for example, an influx of buildings, an influx of subdivisions, an influx of industrial businesses, etc., coming into, or perhaps even a change in the rate of a land where solar farms and wind farms are located? Are we strictly limited to an increase of that $4 million by 3.7%? Or is it that no property's last year's rates can increase by 3.7%?
Yes, General please. Manager.
Thank you, through the Chair, and potentially others may wish to assist with answering this question. In simple terms, we are strictly capped for the total rate yield, with the exception that about 2 years ago, the government changed that growth, councils with growth can get some additional yield from that. We're not, to my knowledge, we're not getting any of that yet. And in terms of, and I think that was one of the primary reasons to start looking at this broader rate modelling options, and the discussion today on the RES potential large developments, to get additional rating out of that significant big business, we will still need to go through a special rate variation process, have an approved window of time where council could actually increase the total rate yield. And that's part of the purpose of starting to look at this today and saying, let's have another look in 2 years and see what we need to do, what lobbying we might need to do of government in the meantime, to see how we could get an increased rate revenue from the big business that is coming, rather than our average ratepayer having to bear that burden.
The reason I ask the question is that we have been given an undertaking by our mayor, and a number of times he has been asked the question, how much are rates going up this year? And his simple one phrase answer is 3.7%, full stop. If we adopt any of these models, then we're going to increase some by more than 3.7% and some by less than 3.7%. And people are going to say, but we were promised.
And that's the same thing that happens every year. But the total, technically what the Mayor is saying, that is the answer, and perhaps Councillor, through the Chair, you have experts on screen, and Councillor O'Connor perhaps could assist with this.
Councillor O'Connor,
we... Someone speak against my
Did you want any further information from the consultants?
Does anyone want any further information from the consultants at this stage? Does anyone wish to speak against the motion we have on the table? Councillor O'Connor, do you require a right of reply?
I do, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Chair. In response to my seconder's request about whether or not there's growth of the rate picking, that's really what he's asked. There's only marginal items, and it invariably comes from subdivisions. Subdivisions allow for additional assessments which are added to your rating thing, base rate, right? And they're very marginal. You know, in other words, you've got to have, you know, really big subdivisions for it to have any effect, because as you can see, the 2013 to now has been very little. I mean, we've had, you know, blocks subdivided, but we've also had blocks consolidate. So the subdivision increases, the consolidation decreases. So that's the way it is. So basically, that it is only in, you know, large developments which have cost to us anyway, and so the benefits are sort of arguable. Rate pegging keeps us where we are. Within my motion, the scenario 6 put in 282, right? My iteration says it's 282.80, and so that's the reason for me specifically saying 282.80. Because it's 49.7 at 282, it's 49.96 at 282.80. So, and the difference is that 80 cents goes onto residential, right? And it also goes onto farmland, but it reduces a whole lot, and the effect is a slight reduction of the yield from farmland. And I'm not talking a huge amount. 80 cents doesn't go very far. But it's better than sort of not doing it. So That's the reason for the 282. It's not me being pedantic. It's just me saying that's closer to the 50% which you're allowed rather than, you know, the 49.4%. So with that, I commend it to the committee for recommendation to council.
Oh, no. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Before I close the meeting, I want to thank Graeme and Francis for their contribution. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I would also like to acknowledge that Graeme and I had a long discussion, not only about the rating, but farming and sitting on the back porch, etc. It was very, very pleasurable. So I thank Graeme for his time and for his consideration.
Yes.
And also then for Francis for doing the scenario six so that we had all the other information which I didn't provide. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. I enjoyed the conversation too. Hopefully you felt a bit of passion for rural Australia. Thanks very much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anything else? Well, with that, Councillor Toomey.
Can I ask two quick questions?
Yeah.
They're not about, I didn't want to interrupt the vote or the discussion there. They're about it, but they don't need to involve the consultants. I understood that perhaps the General Manager might provide us with an idea of the cost of preparing that report. Either, you know, I don't want to breach a commercial contract, but if there's a possibility of just...
I don't think we're breaching any commercial confidence once we went through a quote process and once it's awarded. It was around about 12,000 or 12,800 for the modelling and an extra couple of thousand, I think 3,000 for the other attachment report part. Yes, and I have engaged them separately to answer those questions for the New South Wales farmers, but that's a separate job.
Okay, thank you. And the only other question was... can I ask through you, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Deputy Mayor, if we can, whatever recommendation information comes to council, in the interest of transparency with our community, if it can include the AEC report, the staff report, and all of, not just as minutes, but as a separate report to council. I personally feel it uncomfortable that council adopts the minutes of this committee. The committee, I feel, should adopt the minutes. However, my main concern is that this recommendation, which is deeply sensitive, comes with its own full report to council rather than just as part of minutes, please.
I think that has been taken on board.
Thank you.
Through the chair, I've already drafted a report to present these minutes up. What I've done, taking on board that sort of feedback was similar at the last meeting, is just provided really clear links to where these business papers are. I'm not going to repeat them, but I will have to get that later, what's now been taken on as the late item, also onto the website. So, and also making sure I pick this recommendation up and make it very easy for council to then consider its recommendation.
I guess I'll just flag with you now that I would strongly object to that approach. I believe that for the community's sake and for the councillors who are, when the full council meets, the facts behind that recommendation, why we are considering it, the staff advice, the AEC report should be there in the papers for our community and for the full council to consider so that we are fully considering that recommendation. I just flag with you that I strongly object to it being done just as part of minutes and links, particularly when this is not that easy for people to download. And I just hope that we get those printed copies around to the right venues again, please.
I'll have a discussion with the General Manager.
Because the minutes will not reflect all of what's in here. That's why I have a problem. Are we clear? Because the minutes are just the recommendation. That is not enough.
To what extent is what we've considered at this meeting open to the public?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, this is all on the public website. This is fully open. There's a webcast, and that's why I'm asking, intending to follow our normal processes and not create
these are not normal. These are changed from what we used to do. I do not agree that this change was adopted and agreed by council. It's just happened. I'm just asking that we complete.
I've understood the request.
Deeply sensitive.
Yeah.
And I want our community to see all of the reasons in the council papers, which is where they will look for it. That's all I'm asking. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you.
on it with that.
Just before you go, in follow-up to what Councillor Toomey is saying, and your response to its manager, general manager, the late report,
yes,
that will form part of the on the website. It's because that's one of the reasons why we need to see that we actually had something that was there.
Okay? It will be added, that's correct.
Yes. Well, with that, we'll close the meeting at 5:32. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you.